Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton. JT's back. He's back. Let's see. God, my mind totally blanked. I was going to give you like a really good Justin Timberlake intro, and my mind went like, and stopped. It didn't work. Sorry.
Well, that's good.
Sorry. It's just disappointing.
Works out for the best.
It's just disappointing, you know? You know.
You can just say, hey, JT's with me.
Josh is not.
We're going to talk about things. Josh is not here. He is buying some wall art from a thrift store.
That's true. And hanging it on the wall without his wife's permission. I'm sure that went over well.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, JT, is that
a cigar store Indian?
Is that a giant Indian head painted on the wall behind you? I'm just curious.
Yes, Ken, it is.
That seems a little, you know, unfriendly to the Native American cultures.
Well,
so just hanging an Indian's head on your wall seems kind of vulgar.
You know, I didn't really notice it was there. I'm going to take it with me when I leave this place.
Ah, nice.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
So you go. It's my sister's old bedroom.
Oh, so. Okay. It's actually kind of cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, it actually is kind of cool. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's a very girly room that I'm in. So, I don't know why she has that. I'll have to ask her.
Maybe she likes. Never mind. I'm going to leave that alone. JT, look, I have to ask you this to start the episode off. Who is your favorite Saved by the Bell character?
I think everybody wanted to be Zach, but I always wanted to be Albert Clifford Slater.
Slater was awesome. Slater was pretty cool.
Secure in his manhood, too, because he could do, like, ballet and stuff, and no one messed with him.
True. I mean, he was a wrestler, which is also kind of gay, but still, you know. Maybe just people, it was Southern California, maybe people were just okay with it, you know.
Like, yeah.
Just out there. For me, I'm going to go with, wasn't his name Scott, the guy that Kelly dated that ended up going on and having, like, his own show separate? And he worked...
Can you pull the most obscure things?
He worked at the cafe place and dated younger women. And he was, like, 25 or something. No, not Max. Not Max. This was Kelly's...
No, but the Max. He worked at the Max. So that was the name.
Oh, right. But not the main guy that worked at the Max. This was a different guy that Kelly dated temporarily that was, like, older. He was, like...
Hold on.
He had his own TV show later. He was a separate dude. He's been in a bunch of TV
Jeff?
Shows. Jeff!
Jeff!
Jeff! That's it!
Yes.
That's it.
He'd be the manager of the Max. Yes, Jeff Hunter. I had to look that up.
What else did he play in? He's been in a bunch of stuff, hasn't he? That guy? I think that actor has. Just saying.
Let me see here.
JT with my deep IMDb research here.
Patrick Muldoon
is
the name. He's been in a couple things.
I know he was in Starship Troopers. He played.
Well, there you go.
He played the love interest, the bad guy love interest, sort of. Let's see. Not Carmen Electra. What's that chick that looks just like her? Oh, man. Ah, you can't tell me she doesn't. What is her name? Oh, it's gonna drive me crazy. I gotta look it up. Starship Troopers. It's such a good movie. Have you ever seen Starship Troopers, JT?
Yes, I have. So Jeff
Denise,
is your favorite character?
Denise Richards. Denise Richards.
Denise Richards.
She looks just like Carmen Electra. Come on, like, seriously.
Have you seen Denise Richards has a brother, DeNephew?
Ha! The nephew Dick. Is that his name? Denise Richards? The nephew Dick? Is that not? I'm sorry. I'll stop. JT just gives me this look of, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, you tried, well, but it was okay, not for even one thing, close.
We're talking Save by the Bell characters, and you say my favorite character is Jeff.
Yeah. I'm just...
the manager of the Max who dated Kelly for a little bit and then was, like, never seen again.
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
To be honest, it was probably, like... Okay, acting ability, it was Jesse. I'm so excited! Yeah. I'm so excited!
Oh, the I'm so excited, I'm so scared episode. Yeah. The caffeine pill addiction.
Yeah, yeah.
Caffeine pills.
And
really? Is that even a...
And if I'm 100% honest, I always love Screech. Yeah.
Oh, Screech is such a butt.
And that brings us to why this entire conversation is going on. Darren O'Day has nicknamed Ian Anderson Screech. What? Here's the sad part, JT. Ian Anderson did not know who Screech was.
Oh,
he had never seen
Ian Anderson. Saved by 23, so he's born in 97.
He had never heard of Saved by the Bell, or never seen it at least.
I mean, it's on Netflix and stuff. It's not hard to get.
Yeah, but he's just 22. He's young.
Who even has all the, you know, the college years on it and the Hawaii episodes?
What was the best version? Yeah. Best version of Saved by the Bell.
Just the original.
You think
just
so?
Yeah.
I like the college years. I thought they were good. I actually thought the story writing was better in the college years than the originals.
If you go and watch the little movies, the little miniseries ones, mm-hmm. like the Vegas wedding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those
and the
are
one
good.
Where they go to Hawaii living or whatever they call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Brutally act. Like, it's brutal.
Terrible.
It's,
fun to watch.
There's no laugh track because I don't know why. Apparently, the audience could be in a high school, but they can't be in Hawaii. So there's no laugh track, which makes it really, really awkward. Like, some shows work with no laugh track. Like,
yeah.
30 Rock or The Office.
Yeah.
You know, that works.
Vegas,
when you take a laugh track out of Saved by the Bell,
right.
It's just really awkward.
A Vegas Scooby-Doo chase scene with mafia people chasing you through Vegas with no laugh track and no, like, real music background.
Right.
It was weird.
Yeah.
That being said, I laughed my butt off watching the shows. They're terribly funny.
It is great nostalgia to go back and be like, oh man, we love this stuff. And now you're watching it like, it's just so
the
bad.
The Hawaii one is incredibly bad. The Vegas one, at least you're kind of like interested in what's going to happen to the characters. You know, like, oh, there's this love interest thing and, you know, they might get married, and I mean, there's some. You're at least curious of what's going to happen. The Hawaii one, you're like, what is going on?
Hawaii one, they have to save Kelly's grandpa's hotel from the evil hotel tycoons that are going to demolish it and build a new one. And of course, odds are, wow, who'd have thunk it? Mr. Belding happens to be in Hawaii too at the same time.
Yeah.
So they run into him, who's on a trip with a group of high school principals, which Mr. Belding must be the biggest loser of all time.
What?
He goes to Hawaii with a group of high school principals and takes them all.
How weird is it now that Mr. Belding weighs like 350 pounds? Have you seen him lately?
Oh, he's huge. Yeah, he's huge. Actually, a friend of mine met him we were in college and went on a trip to, say, like Nashville or somewhere. And they went out to eat and went up to the bar to order drinks. And Dennis Haskins was right there next to him. They were like, you're Mr. Belding. And he took pictures with him. It was just the nicest dude.
He's got to love that. But how bad would it suck to be typecast for life as that kind of character? You know what I mean?
I don't know, man.
It's like Screech, man. He goes crazy because he's Screech to everybody. He's not Dustin Diamond. You know what I mean? Like, he has no identity outside of that person. It's like, what's really funny is to see the extreme of when that happens, like Danny Tanner. And then and then you suddenly meet Bob Saget, and you're like, wait,
you're different.
Wait, Danny Tanner cusses like every other breath in his comedy routine? Yeah. You know, like, that's weird.
I mean, they get, you know, those checks keep coming. You know, once you go into what's it called? When a TV show goes into
syndication.
Where it's on like syndication. Yeah, there you go. When it's syndicated like that, you get all sorts of royalty checks. Like, I'm sure Dennis Haskins he's pretty okay with people saying Mr. Belding because. I'm sure he's got a nice, comfy living.
Yeah,
off of
it would still get old.
Dumb show.
It would still get old, but yeah, I get it. I mean, I guess you always have some place you can call home, right? You can always come back to there.
I didn't realize that later that his name was Saved by the Bell, And his last name was literally Bell Ding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the dinging of a school bell. And I was like,
Yeah. And, you know, a place where everybody knows your name. You can.
Like Cheers?
Yeah, exactly. Great. Thank you for catching the reference there, JT.
You know how disappointed I was to realize that high school wasn't going to be like Saved by the Bell, and I wasn't going to know my like the interactions between me and my principal were not going to be like it was for the Bayside Gang and Mr. Belding.
It's disappointing.
I thought that's what it's going to be like.
And that girls weren't, well, you probably didn't know this part, but for me, that girls weren't just going to fawn over you and think you were the coolest guy ever, you know? Like, just.
Kid, I don't. Trust me. Wasn't happening here either, man.
JT, you were like Mexican thug drug dealer. Everybody loved you.
No,
I like JT. If you've ever seen pictures of him, he looks like he's, you know, I don't even remember that dude's name from wrestling, but he looks like he's gonna say "Arriba la raza, man!" Like that's gonna be his next scene, and then when he takes off the flannel shirt that's buttoned only at the top, he's going to have on a puka shell necklace, and his hair is going to be bright, and he's going to sing NSYNC. That's JT Absolutely. In high school.
It was a very Ricky Martin type existence that I had. Man. Yeah, it was a lot of puka shells and a lot of hair product. Man, I think that's what I ruined myself on. Is I poisoned my roots with all that hair product. And
it does.
Look what happened to me.
It does. Hey, speaking of Ian Anderson being Screech, Ian Anderson screeched today. Holy crap! You called it, JT. You said,
"How about the Marlins offense screeched to a halt?" What?
You said that six innings, and I think you said one run, but he didn't even give up one run. Yeah, 5 2/3.
Yeah.
91 pitches, 8 Ks. The first few innings, he was just – it took him a few pitches, but he was just lights out. I mean, just
– Yeah, he had to work up a lather a little bit, get a little sweat going, and then once he did, second, third, fourth inning flowed much better.
Five of the first 9 batters, he K'd. 4 of them swinging. Yeah. That's crazy.
He's got a good kind of command of his stuff, and he doesn't seem to be bothered by much. He seems kind of Soroka-esque on the mound. Mm-hmm. Now, his stuff is a little, throws harder than Soroka, but as far as the command of all his pitches, not being afraid to use a changeup as an out pitch.
Yeah. It's actually his best pitch at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. But he was using the fastball heavy today. And it looked good. Fastball high in the zone was rising, and it looked really nasty.
Yeah,
I just like the general makeup, the way he feels on the mound. You get a better sense of, okay, he's not rattled.
Right.
Where sometimes you would see young guys, Mike Minor was this way. Of course, with Folty, Newcomb, you just feel like, you know, they're hanging on. They've got their nails dug in, and they're hanging on for dear life, trying to hopefully get out of this inning. Where he just doesn't seem rattled by anything. It's really cool. Seems to have a good head on his shoulder.
Well, Jason Stark pointed this out today online, and that was this. He said, "It's amazing how much watching Ian Anderson feels like watching Steve Avery. Obviously, different hands. They're not, you know, Avery was a lefty, but he's just like young, composed, got all of it together, and the future looks bright, man. And we know things didn't work out for Avery because of some injury and that kind of thing, but." I don't think Braves fans now know most of the young Braves fans at least don't realize how good Avery was. That yes, there was Glavine, yes, there was Maddox, yes, there was Smoltz, but if Avery doesn't get hurt, he might have been better than those three. As insane as that sounds to say,
yeah. I mean, if you look up his stats against the Pirates in '91 and '92, and I mean, he was 21 years old and on a huge stage. Unreal.
Yeah.
He had unreal stuff, man. And it's crazy now because watching that as a kid, I thought, oh, he's a major league pitcher. He's a grown-up. Now, looking back, he's 21.
Yeah.
Like, Ian Anderson's young. He's 2 years older than that. Yeah. You know, so, but that's I think that's a good comparison because that's the kind of, he does seem to have that makeup about him. Sometimes when you say that the guy's got really good makeup, it's just a nice way of saying that he doesn't have great stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, he's composed on the mound. He's, you know, he's a cerebral pitcher. Like, that's a good way of saying he tops out at 89 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know? But Anderson's got some gnarly stuff, too. Like, he can be pretty filthy. So,
well, and the biggest thing is he controls it. That's the thing that goes above and beyond is he knows where the ball's going almost all the time. And I remember just a few years ago, like, we were saying, this dude, in our eyes, what we've seen of him, he looks like a number one, number two type pitcher. And I remember prospect guys, like, checking out on him early because he wasn't throwing 99 all the time. And we're like, oh, well, we don't think he'll ever be a number one. He's like a number three or four starter. And I'm like, nothing's changed. This is the same guy that's been drafted before. Just chill, you know? And I think it's sometimes, I think you see this with, like, prospect fatigue and players who, fans especially, and kind of blogger fans that think they know a lot more, looking at a guy and they get fatigue over him because it takes a while for a guy to develop. I mean, Ian Anderson was drafted by the Braves. He was barely 18 years old. You know, he might have been 17 still. I'm not even sure. And then he starts to develop. And I think fans think if this guy doesn't rush to the majors in 2 years, then he's a bust, you know, somehow. And he's definitely not a bust. he's legit. And this Braves team. Yeah. They're gonna need him. It looks like they're gonna need him again, unless something just falls apart. So,
well, you know, and it depends on what we get out of Kyle Wright. If we get a good start with Kyle Wright tomorrow, now the thing that worries me about him is a long way off between starts, because it seemed like he's figuring things out.
Yeah.
But my oh my, can you imagine? You know, think of where we were a month ago.
Yeah.
We thought, oh my gosh, like, what is going to happen?
Tommy Malone, Robbie Erlin were getting starts for the Atlanta Braves, right? Like,
yeah. And now, if you're telling me that if Kyle Wright can throw a good game tomorrow, which, you know, I'm hoping for, let's see.
Look, if Kyle Wright gives you four innings tomorrow, four innings,
yeah,
that's a good start. Like, if he gives you four innings of one run ball, you're in a position to win the baseball game. You know, I truly believe that because. Because this bullpen, they haven't really touched Shane Green. They haven't really used, they didn't use Wright today, so Wright's still sitting in a good, I mean, Wright. Martin, they didn't reuse him today, so Martin should be good to go tomorrow. Shane Green's good to go. You should be able to even use Tomlin for like an inning or something if you needed to.
Tomlin hasn't been used. Grant Dayton hasn't been used at all.
Yeah. I mean, there's tons of guys. Is Jacob Webb? Yeah, did he make the postseason roster?
Yeah, Jacob Webb's in there. He was warming up in the first inning.
And depending on what you need, you've even got Oscar Yanoa. So if you felt like Wright was hitting a wall at three or four innings, bring in another guy with a clean slate and rock it up and let's end this thing right. You know, no pun intended. Yeah. But
well,
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean it's just a total sea change from where. A month ago, we were going, what is this rotation? To now, we're looking at, man, if we get Soroka back next year with Fried, with Anderson, I haven't felt that good about the top three in the rotation in a long time.
Right, and then let's add in Wright, Wilson.
Yeah, let's add in Wright.
Weigel, Davidson, okay. You know, like fill in the blanks.
Weigel, Davidson.
Yanoa.
Or enter your free agent here.
Sure.
My goodness. Can you imagine adding a Trevor Bauer to the top of that rotation?
Yeah, and I don't think the Braves will go after a top-tier guy like that. I may be wrong. I think the money's going to be a little tight with the whole COVID thing. They're going to use the excuse not to spend a ton of money. But I don't think they need a guy necessarily like Bauer. Could you imagine, like, as crazy as it sounds, and Braves fans would freak out if I said this, but could you imagine having Dallas Keuchel as your fifth starter? Not your number one, but you're bringing a guy in like that just to pitch 17 games for you and never pitch in the postseason if you can help it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just going to pitch 20 games, 25 games, I don't know, depending on what the season is. And he's going to be your fifth starter, and you don't, like, you might even pay him $10 million or something just to be a fifth starter, which is crazy. But you could, and I'm not saying go get Keuchel. I'm just saying somebody of that ilk that's a good pitcher, but nobody's going out and paying him, like, top-tier money anymore, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you can find a former Cy Young winner to be your fifth starter, you're usually doing okay.
All right.
You know what I mean? So, I mean...
Unless his name's Cole.
This sounds not crazy. Well, that's what I was about to say. We're all soured on Cole Hamels, right?
Yeah.
Now. But if we take him at a very reduced rate next year to come back and be a fifth starter for this team, yeah, I don't like $18 million Cole Hamels.
No, right.
But even for 1 year at five,
yeah,
knowing that he had to prove it,
yeah.
You know, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If fifth starter Cole Hamels on $5 million? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's still a little
or bring in Jaco DeRizzi. I mean, there's a ton of names out there of guys that are kind of in a prove it position where you could use them, especially if they're not having to be your number one. You're not counting on them. How big?
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. how good would this Braves team look right now if Cole Hamels were healthy and sitting in it? You would think this was a World Series contending team. Right now, sure. I'm not writing us off and saying we're not, but I'm saying the Dodgers are a big bear to get by. I think the Braves would actually stand a better shot against the Padres than the Dodgers, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Dodgers are going to wrap this thing up, and the Padres are going to be like, wow, we were good, but not that good.
I'm written to see that Braves offense play the Dodgers and play Walker Buehler and Kershaw and those guys. And if you're going to go to the World Series, you've got to through the best. Yeah. And we'll see. I mean, a little ahead of ourselves.
I'm not complaining about that, and I'm not trying to get ahead of ourselves. I'm simply saying if you were looking at a 7-game series against the Dodgers, boy, it would have a really different complexion if you had somebody like a healthy Cole Hamels on this roster. Ooh, boy.
Could really stretch that rotation out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the worry is you go, all right, we might have three starters. And let's be honest, we might have three starters.
Yeah.
Let's see what Kyle does. And then you go, okay, game four. Well,
Wilson, you know. Wilson looked really good at the end of the year, but he wasn't facing the Dodgers either. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm saying that it's a big question mark.
It is a huge question mark. I'm not saying it can't be done, but do I feel good going into a game four against the Dodgers where we may be down in the series and we got Bryce Wilson on the mound? No, I don't feel good about that at all.
Right, right.
Now, this is baseball and weird things happen, but yeah, I wouldn't feel confident going into that for sure.
But hey, looking at it, You can always count on the Braves for this, JT. The best thing about today's win, double D's. Have double D's ever let you down? Other than your ex-wife? Wow. Other than your ex-wife?
Oh, boy. I'm guessing you're going with Dansby and Darno.
I am. Right? Dansby and Darno. Okay, that's okay. Where I was going with that, yeah.
That's where you're going. My goodness. If Dansby wants to get hot again, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, he's been hot the whole time, JT. But I think you meant with a bat.
I don't know. I don't like the cool youth pastor look that he rocks in his private life.
See it as cool youth pastor. I've never seen a youth pastor that can actually rock that amount of hair in a good
not
way.
Youth pastor, but I mean like mega church, young mega church pastor. Okay. He dresses like Stephen Furtick.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. We just went over a bunch of heads with Stephen Furtick.
No, I'm with you. I'm all for Stephen Furtick here, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a preacher that makes like $30 million a year. Good for him. And Darno, man, what a signing he's been. Like, holy cow, man. That shot he hit today, dude, that was a wiffle ball.
Rocket
he
shot.
Would just swat it. And just, I mean, it was no doubter in a UD. Man, just... Such a sea change from, and I'm not besmirching these guys, but Flowers and Suzuki. Mm-hmm. Okay. But when you actually have a live bat and a threat behind the plate, it makes you so much harder to pitch around, you know? Because I think there's a national, it seems to be more of a National League thing where guys will just accept, well, it's catching, so it's all about defense. There's not a lot of great offensive catchers. Well, that's crap. You can find them.
Yeah.
They're few and far between for sure, because usually if you've got a bat good enough, people want to move you out of the catcher spot. You know, Bryce Harper was a catcher back in the day, and then some coach said, well, no, you're not going to take all those bumps and bruises. We're going to keep you healthy and preserve you.
Right.
So same thing happened to Craig Biggio coming up. But they're out there. Man, what a difference that makes, man.
Yeah.
Like, and Darno's no slouch defensively either.
No, right.
But he's just been – he's really stretched our lineup.
Hey,
you know,
I haven't had to see Tyler Flowers in the postseason. And I'm not mad at Tyler Flowers. I'm just saying I haven't had to see him. And that makes me happy. Because while I think Tyler Flowers is a great pitch framer, and I don't even – like, his hitting is up and down. He's like a 212 hitter this year. He's been like a lifetime 231-ish hitter, something like that. He's had ups and down years. His hitting doesn't bother me. I just hate the way he calls games sometimes. I'm not the biggest fan of his game. Some people actually like the way he calls a game. I don't. I don't like that he sits on a pitch and calls it over and over and over and over and over. That bothers me. Some people love that.
Here's my thing, though. It's like, when you talk about the guy as a pitch framer, and that's the first thing you come up with is pitch framing. And no doubt, he's good at it, and statistics show he's good at it. And that's fun. What that tells me right there is he can't hit because if he's hitting 25 homers a year and he's batting in the 280s. You're not mentioning his pitch frame.
Yeah, and let's be honest, though, in baseball, there's only five catchers that do hit. So,
true.
It's not like the end of the world to be a catcher that can't hit. But yeah, if he can, it's a big deal, you know?
Yeah, even all time, if you rate best hitting catchers, we're naming about the same four or five guys.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a huge list.
But speaking of catching, if I had told you at the beginning of this year, JT, that the Yankees' number one catcher would be some dude named Higashioka instead of Gary Sanchez, would you have believed me? No. Like, Gary Sanchez can't hit baseballs anymore, and the Yankees have gone in this postseason and basically made Higashioka, or however you say his, I really don't know how you say his last name. He's their primary catcher now, you know, that tells you how quick baseball changes. Because 2 years ago, people were telling me like Gary Sanchez was going to be an automatic Hall of Famer, like he was going to hit 30 bombs a year, you know, and I would have believed them because he was doing
everything we thought about Brian McCann in like the year 2007,
right,
you know, like. Yeah, and you know, but catching is really hard. It's really tough.
It's also so really hard on you. Yeah, physically.
That's what I mean. It's so demanding. It is like mentally draining. It's physically demanding. It is not for the faint of heart. Like, you got to be a tough SOB to get back there and do it. And Darno's a dude. I mean,
I want somebody. I want the person who thinks catchers aren't athletes and aren't, and it's not a tough job. I want them to simply do this challenge. I want you to squat for 20 minutes, stand up and go rest for 20 minutes, then squat for 20 minutes, and then stand up and go rest for 20 minutes. And I want you to do that 9 times. And then tomorrow I want you to tell me that catching is not a physical, because you're not going to be able to walk across the room. Like, unless you're some crazy athlete, you know,
you're in the little league. I was in third grade, and I was like, screw this. By the end of the year, I was like, I'm not playing catcher again. This sucks.
Right.
Because it was all the equipment and everything you had to put on.
And then you're getting beat up. It's hot. You're getting beat up. You're constantly having to take the equipment on and off, which is annoying. And then on top of that, this is the part I don't get. You see so many pitches. I don't know how you ever get locked in to a speed.
Right.
Because – But people say, oh, yeah, well, catchers see guys, they should be used to it. No. They see so many different speeds till I don't know how you ever, like, vary. Because I think the common observer of baseball doesn't realize the adjustment of 95 to 91. It's a huge adjustment, and it's a very small adjustment, and at the same time, it's huge to make. It's really hard to make. And it's amazing to see guys, even 95 to 98, you know, like, and then talk about release points and the way the ball comes in and the way it floats in and all that thinking going on in the catcher's head of what are they trying to throw to me right now? I don't know how a catcher stays out of their own head. You know, like, you have to be able to turn all that off.
Hey, well, here's what I would tell my guy to do. Is they going to do the same thing that I would do in this situation?
Right.
And you kind of outcoach yourself between the ears when you're at bat. Yeah, I mean, it's super tough for a lot of reasons, both mental and physical, and that's why there's so few guys that can perform well offensively.
Right.
In that position, I'm just really happy that we went out and grabbed one, and it was really kind of an afterthought. That's the thing. Darno had a decent year last year, but when we signed him, it wasn't to a lot of fanfare. There wasn't like no one went into this all season going, man, we got to go get Travis Darno.
Yeah.
No one. And what a great find for everybody that craps on AA saying, well, he didn't do more on the pitching staff. Give the man credit for, you know, keeping that relationship alive with Travis Darno, who he once traded.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of which, Mike Clevinger has pitched less than an inning in the postseason.
Yeah, right.
Like, he's not healthy. And for all those people that scream, why didn't the AA go and trade Drew Waters for Mike Clevinger plus Ian Anderson? Well, now you have your answer, right? Like, maybe you don't know what you're doing. Maybe.
Didn't Darno get traded with R.A. Dickey in the Syndergaard deal?
He did. Way back. Yep.
So he left the Mets with R.A. Dickey to go to AA and the Blue Jays, who traded a kid named Noah Syndergaard.
Yep. AA's still winning that trade, for the record.
I think so. I think, man, I would love to see Syndergaard like put it together.
Yeah, he's not going to though because he can't stay healthy. He's too athletic. I never really thought I would be able to say that about a pitcher, but I actually think he's too athletic.
All right, Ken, what if he's the Braves' fifth starter?
I'd take it. I would sure say take it. Yeah. Hey, JT, we got to talk about him. Nick Markakis, people are going to quietly poo-poo on Nick and say Father Time is catching up to him. All I know.
Oh, he's been at the Father Time Hotel, I thought.
Yeah. Whatever that was. I have to say this, though. He gets hits in the postseason. And once again, he doubles today. Nick Markakis, this was what had me dying laughing. The number of people that were mad that Nick Markakis didn't catch the ball in right field and instead let it bounce, and then he threw the guy out at second. Like,
right. Like
people online literally mad, a good right fielder catches that ball. I'm like, he got the out, you dinguses. Do you not understand how baseball works? Doesn't matter.
He had two options here. Hey, I can try to get it, might miss it, over pursuit, and then I'm in trouble, or I can lay up, and I know I can get this guy out. It was a super smart cerebral play.
Yes.
A guy at 36 years old that knows his limitations, a younger guy, might have over-pursued the ball. Now we're in deep doo-doo.
Yeah, and maybe a younger guy makes the catch. Maybe a younger guy makes the catch easily. It doesn't matter. The dude's out. It was an out. That's all that matters. Like, it doesn't matter how you get the out.
You're dumb.
Yeah. Like,
you're dumb. If you think you're stupid.
I enjoyed Peter Moylan replying to someone with the Robert Downey Jr. eyes rolled back in his head, Jeff. I thought it was very appropriate.
Two things today. Watching Nick Markakis, he had that double down the left field line. And first thing I thought was interesting was as soon as he hit it, my dad, without missing a beat, just said, out of Young Harris.
Boom!
Like, casually. And then number two, my goodness, what a professional piece of baseball hitting that was.
It was.
My Lord. I mean, keeping the head back, just keeping your hands back, swinging through the ball and just on a line down the left field, opposite field like that to keep it from go and hit it where, I mean, that's not an accident.
Yeah, you know, no.
Nine out of ten guys are fouling that ball off.
People poo-poo on Nick because he doesn't hit a lot of homers anymore. But, guys, doubles still count. Singles still count. And with this team, the way they hit homers, people being on base is a big deal. It's a big deal to get men on base. And, in fact, if anything, my concern is that this Braves team has sold out so much for the homer that I'm a little concerned. You get like it's working out okay against the Marlins. It's worked out against the Reds, right? They're not big home run hitting teams. But you get against the Dodgers, you got to get men on base in front of some of these. You got to. And right now, like I'm not the guy here screaming about strikeouts. I'm okay with strikeouts. I understand sometimes you have to sell out to hit homers. Like, I get it. But, boy, I'd like to see a few base runners. You know what I'm saying? Like, just work the count a little. Get a walk. I'm not saying lay down a bunt. I'm not saying beat the shift all the time. I'm not that guy. But I am saying, whoo, can we please get on base just a little bit? Just a little bit more. Let's not everybody swing out of our shoes trying to be the hero tonight, you know? And I'm afraid that that's going to bite you going to the World Series. Now, that being said, in the playoffs so far, as of us recording this, the team that hit the most homers is 18-0 in playoff baseball.
There you go.
So,
turns out that runs scored kind of matter.
Yeah.
Maybe. And if you can score runs more than the other team, you're going
to
win.
Maybe I'm just the old man yelling at clouds, but I would like to see a few base runners.
Nice to see a guy who's a professional baseball hitter and not a guy who's like, oh, I'm big and strong, and I can hit it 500 feet. Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, those guys typically bat like 220. And
Yeah,
they'll have 48 homers, but they're batting 210. And you know, and it's nice to see guys says, look, I know what to do. Not rattled. I come up here, and I adjust my swing depending on the, you know, what I'm looking for the situation, depending on what the count is. It's nice to see the little things like, you know, two strikes, choke up on the bat. The kind of things that, you know, the fundamentals that you're taught growing up.
And, hey, it's going to be overlooked, but Austin Riley, I think he's playing a little hurt. I think he's still a little nicked up. I think he needs a month or two in the offseason to get back well. He's still putting together little singles, dinks, dunks. He's figuring out a way to get it done just enough offensively to get on base some. And he's playing outstanding defense. Ooh.
Man, he had that pick in the eighth inning. Yeah. He was today. Oh my gosh, that was great. I think that part of it is he's playing in a stadium with a really short porch in left field, and he knows.
Yeah.
Golly, if I can touch it, I can hit a playoff homer. Yeah. I can be the hero. And it's very tempting for him because he's over swinging a lot.
He is.
He's getting a lot of change ups where he is just, it's like he's chopping down a tree, but he sees that short porch and he knows how strong he is.
But the difference is he's not striking out constantly. He is shortening his swing up late in at bats, you know?
Yeah, he is. He had a bad at bat today where he struck out on three. Mm-hmm. And he walked back and his head was down. I mean, you could tell it was getting to it. And I think it's because he had a guy on base and was just wanting to play a little hero ball.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him. He's a young kid.
It's also what he can do. He can do it, you know.
Because if he makes contact with one of those balls, it is out of here.
Right.
And I think he's being a little greedy with that. But that just comes with being a young guy. And sometimes you got to realize, sometimes a home run is not an option.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. And you've got to take what the pitcher's giving you. Everybody wants to walk up and hit it 450 feet every time they come up. But sometimes you got to look at the situation and say, hey, what do I need to do with this at bat?
Yeah.
Sometimes that means I just need to dribble it to the right side of the infield.
And maybe this is a playoff philosophy thing. Maybe they said against the Reds and against the Marlins, we're going to swing out of our shoes. Like maybe that's literally the strategy that they're going with right now. And that's fine. It's working. You know, I'm not knocking it. But I do think when you get to the Dodgers, Ozuna's not a 230 hitter this year. He's a 330 hitter. You know, like he almost got the triple crown, you know? So I would like to see Ozuna going the other way a little bit. I'd like to see Dansby going the other way a little bit. Let's get the ball rolling because that's where this Braves offense has been really good is they start getting some men on. They start working around the bases. And then Travis d'Arnaud hits the three-run bomb. You know,
the one thing I would like to see too, and I'll give a tip of the cap here to our friend Ashley for coming on this week. Ronald Acuna, deactivate your Twitter for a day.
Yeah,
turn your phone off today. In your back pocket. He got owned. You got owned, son. Quit. Don't run your mouth that much. I mean, it's fun. It's fine. It's fun, and it's all fun and games. But you're gonna have to back it up more than you did today, because they have every right to laugh at you right now.
Yeah,
they have every right to look at you and say, "Well, they just hit me because they can't get me out, son." They got you out four times a day.
Yeah,
and it was the hate to plug another podcast, but it was a platinum sombrero, and you know. That's the thing where Snit's got to pull him aside and say, "You got to when the game's over, the game's over. Focus on the next one."
And I completely disagree with you. I love it. And like I get what you're saying. There's a part of me that thinks he should get online tonight and like tweet a whole bunch of other stuff because this is what happens, JT. I think there's a mental game to baseball, and I think he's so far in the Marlins' heads right now that they can't get out of their own way. They're so focused on him that they're forgetting about Travis d'Arnaud and Dansby Swanson and, you know, hitting Ian Anderson, right? Like, I think there's an element of that to it. Now, do I want Acuna to back it up? Absolutely. But I think Acuna's – he was trying a little hard today. I think he wanted to go deep, you know? I think he wanted to prove something.
Yeah, and I think that's the mental game I think worked in reverse on him where he's like, I'm going to show you how much of a badass I am.
Yeah.
Watch me homer again, and then what are you going to do about it?
Right.
And, sometimes you can't go up there angry. You can't go up to the plate, you know, all jacked up on Mountain Dew. You got to, you know, be composed and relaxed because, you know.
That being said, Pablo's been good this year. He has. Pablo Lopez, with the exception of that 29-run game, especially since then.
Other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Yeah. Yeah. But since then, he's actually been a really good pitcher. So I'm going to give him some credit. They definitely got Acuna a couple times today. That being said, I would totally not be shocked if Acuna didn't lead off the game tomorrow with a home run. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wouldn't surprise me in the least. So,
he does seem to have an ability to flush things and you have to have.
And I think
he believes in his talent. I mean, he never doubts himself. So.
Right. Tying into that, I do have to. I want to talk about one last thing, and we'll wrap up the show with this, JT. Don Mattingly comes out defending his team. So I simultaneously hate this and think it's probably the right thing. Don Mattingly bringing up the fact that Acuna slid into second with his spikes a little high at Miguel Rojas and saying that he thought that it was dirty and on purpose. And it was kind of a dirty play. Now, here's the thing, JT. I think Don Mattingly's an idiot if this is truly what he believes. Secondly, I have no idea what else Don Mattingly should say. He's the coach of the team. He needs something to get his team fired up. I think it's exactly what he should say, while simultaneously thinking he's a doofus for saying it.
This is Don Mattingly. And anybody remembers watching Don Mattingly play, there's no way he actually believes this.
Right.
Or he may think it's dirty, but he may be like, yeah, but that's baseball. That's what you do.
Right. Especially if you beamed the guy six times in the year, you know.
So there may be the poet where he's kind of talking to his team through the media because he knows they're going to see it.
Yeah.
No, this guy's trying to get us. He's dirty. These guys are dirty. We need to go out there and get him. Maybe a kind of rah-rah thing to his team.
Right.
You know, telling you about how bad and dastardly the other guys are. We need to go out there and kick their butts. In his heart of hearts, Don Mattingly understands how the game is played.
Yeah.
He did it for so long, and he was a gritty type of player. Like, he was, golly, I feel bad for Don Mattingly because he literally just missed the Yankees dynasty. Yeah. He busted his butt for the worst New York Yankees teams possible.
Yeah.
Like, young fans won't even remember how, like, the Yankees were this bad for this long, but they were.
Tell me this, JT. Don Mattingly or Derek Jeter, who's the better baseball player?
Oh, man. I have to say Jeter. Because the moments. You know what I mean? The moments. Now, granted, it wasn't Don Mattingly's fault that he was playing with Kevin Moss and
right.
Who did it? Brian Taylor was their draft pick.
If you swap the teams, if Jeter plays with Mattingly's teams and Mattingly plays with Jeter's teams, I know they didn't play exactly the same position, but I'm just saying, like, roughly you swap the teams, who's the better player?
Probably Mattingly then, because, yeah. I mean, it's a supporting cast. I mean, yeah. I mean, because Mattingly is good enough. Mattingly is a borderline Hall of Famer himself, so let's not, like, act like he was, you know, you're not going to lose too much. You're basically take out Derek Jeter, replace him with your league average shortstop, and you're replacing Tino Martinez with Don Mattingly. Those are still really good Yankees teams.
Right, right.
The only reason I give the nod to Jeter is because the moments, man.
Oh, yeah, like
He was clutch. And we talk about clutch being a thing, man. Derek Jeter is the number one guy that Dansby gets compared to all the time.
Yeah.
Is Derek Jeter, because he has that flair for the dramatic.
On the old Nintendo game, I wanted Don Mattingly on my team every time. Do you remember the old baseball game? I don't even know what it was.
All-Stars?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I don't even remember for certain what the name of the game was. But
Don Mattingly was, well, he was the lone bright spot on which I'm going to look up some of these rosters later tonight just to jog my memory, but some really, really poor, poor Yankees teams. And they had young parts around there. Bernie Williams, you know, was in there. And they had some other guys that would show up later that we know as being part of the Yankees dynasty. The longest time, man, those were terrible Yankees teams, which seems crazy that the Yankees could be bad for like a full decade, but they definitely were.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that era was something special to see with Steinbrenner. Mm-hmm. And I know he owned them a lot longer than that, but for us, that's probably as close as we'll ever get to what people saw with, like, Murderers Row or you know, like the 27 Yankees and you know, all that kind of stuff, you know, like, well, for us, that's probably the most
interesting. The late 90s were like homegrown Yankees, but, you know, a lot of the guys like Posada, Mariano Rivera, Derek Jeter, then they'd add in, you know, their Paul O'Neill's and Scott Brosius. And then when they became like the what did they call them in Boston? The Evil Empire. And you know, they're signing Jason Giambi, and you just name it. The biggest free agent was a Yankee. Take them off the board, Yankees. You know, everybody else gets everything that's left over. And yeah, it's pretty remarkable teams there in New York for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It was a special era. That being said, Mattingly should go watch some film of himself playing baseball and remember that. Like I said, the meta side of me that is in the, I guess, in the business, like, I don't really know if we consider ourselves in the business or not, but that thinking of it from more of a reporter sort of picture, I don't know what else Mattingly should say. As a fan, I think it's the dumbest thing ever. I'm just saying.
He's sticking up for his guys.
All right.
You know, he's sticking up for his guys. So
give me this. Who is winning, right, tomorrow?
Kyle Wright keeps it going. Braves win, say, 5-2. I think Kyle Wright has figured it out a little bit. I think he's like, hey, I belong here. I can do it. We're all trusting you. We're all counting on you. Kyle Wright goes about I'll say five innings, gives up about two runs.
Okay. All right. I think Wright figured some things out. I do think, again, the Marlins have seen him a little bit, so I don't know how much of that translates. And the nerves may be there a little bit. That being said, I think the Braves can finish the game off. I'm just saying. I think they can finish the series off. I don't know if Kyle Wright will have much to do with it, but I do think the Braves win tomorrow. Let me put it that way. Let's call it 7-6. Braves win.
I'll take it either way.
Yeah, I will too. That's going to do it for this episode of the Non-Combination Podcast Show. JT, we will be together tomorrow night again, my friend.
Woo-hoo, let's do it.
Hopefully
with some good news.
Hopefully celebrating. I think you're going to have us a little SEC preview before too long, or at least some college football preview
weekend. I'll be cooking that up for you.
Okay. All right. Cook it up. When JT says he's going to be cooking something up, you guys don't understand. This man comes from a family of chefs. So cooking up for him is a process. It's an all day long job.
A labor of love, my friend.
His dad's butt is the best thing I've ever put in my mouth. That's all I can say. And that's going to do it for today's. It's award winning. And that's going to do it for today's podcast show. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. We appreciate all of our patrons. Without your help, we couldn't make this show possible. You guys are the absolute freaking best. Thank you for being a part of the nation. It means the world to us. If you would like to get some swaggy Braves gear, you can do that at shop.spreadshirt.com/Nakahoma Nation. Check out that gear. Find some fun stuff for the loved ones in your life. The Christmas is just around the corner. Get you some sweet Nakahoma Nation gear. We got shirts. We got hats. We got chef's aprons. We've got thermoses. We've got water bottles. We got all coffee cups. We got all kinds of stuff. Check it out. JT, I love you, man. We'll see you next time.
See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.